If I can have your attention here in the Media Center, we'll continue on with today's NASCAR Xfinity Series media availability in advance of tomorrow night's 17th annual Coca-Cola Firecracker 250 here at Daytona International Speedway. And we're joined by three of the young, exciting drivers in this series. We have Kaz Grala on the far end, driver of the number 61, Kyklos Greek extra virgin olive oil Ford. We have in the middle Ryan Preece, driver of the number 18 Ream Toyota. And here on the end, we have Brandon Jones, driver of the number 19 Comcast NBC Universal Salute to Service Toyota. We will open the floor up for questions. We will start with Caleb and work our way around.
Caleb Whistler kicking the tires on that. Kaz, you had the four-way stretch. You knew that you were going to race. Now it seems like a week-to-week basis. Kind of how are you – what's your mindset going knowing that this could be your last race?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to race aggressively, and you get to a place like this, and there's a couple different approaches you can take to the race, but I feel like I'm going to learn the most through the first two stages racing hard, and then trying to use what I learned there to translate into the third stage. So I think we can kind of race this race as if we're going for a win, because if we did win and locked into the playoffs, I think that makes a sponsorship search a lot easier for us week to week. So we're going in with the mindset of guns a-blazing. It really is a week-to-week basis. We don't know if we're going to Kentucky yet. So, I mean, we're talking to people and trying to, and, you know, I'd say it's 50-50. So we'll see.
We'll go next to Zach, and then we'll go to the back to Woody Kane.
I do think we have a small team that could feel. I feel like we're doing something right now that's kind of unique for this sport in its day and age, and it's been a lot of fun for all of us, and you hit the nail on the head. We don't necessarily have everything that the bigger teams do, but I feel like we have equally as smart of people, maybe not as many, but the quality is there. And so since we have the people that know what needs to be done, we can slowly start to try to get those resources that we don't have, because we know what direction we need to go. I mean, there's been races this year already that I feel like we've had 10th, 12th place speed, which is pretty good for us. But we've got three things that we can list that weekend that we already know. Well, we could have these. Maybe someday in the future we will have that. So we know where we need to go, and I think we have not reached our potential yet. But the more races we get to run, the closer we'll get to there.
Go to Woody, then to Chris, and then to Matt Weaver.
For Ryan, at Bristol, you were kind of semi-joking that you had now gotten in the black and gotten back to square one. Are you going back into the red now, or what's ahead for you the rest of the year?
Just keep racing, trying to win, do the same thing we did at Bristol. That's really it. I'm really looking forward to come out here to Daytona and drafting. And you know, I hear a lot of guys talking about being up front, and I don't necessarily know if I'd want to be there. Just looking back at the first two stages is what I mean. It just looks like it gets pretty hectic in stage one, and if you don't finish stage one, you aren't going to be there for stage two and three. So I'm just going to play the race pretty much how I think I would in a modified, and take every lap and every scenario for what it's worth, and try to be there at the end when it counts, when you're going to be in victory lane.
To Chris, and then to Matt.
Yeah, Chris, not catchfence.com. Ryan, the last time you raced, it was at Bristol in April, but it's been a while since you've been in the car. How do you adjust getting back in the seat? And you did three races right in row 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. What's your schedule look like this summer?
Well, you know, I'm racing all the time, man. I was in a seat last Wednesday. It's been a little while since I've been in an Xfinity car, but if you look at it, last year, I hadn't been in an Xfinity car since Homestead, and my first race was New Hampshire, so I'd say it's been a while since I've been on a super speedway like this, but drafting, it's all kind of the same. The only thing is just getting put three wide or getting put into scenarios or situations is what I mean, when you don't want to be in them. So you just gotta pick, you know, when the time to go or when the time's right to go, you know. So I think I'll be just fine getting adapting today. I don't think we're going to do too much practice, but I think we'll be fine. When's my next race? I'm not quite sure. I got to look at the schedule, to be honest with you.
Go next to Matt.
Matt Waver, AutoWeek.com. One for Kaz and one for Priest. Kaz, when you guys brought everything over from JGL over in-house at Fury, was most of that done as far as like getting those cars ready with Shane and any guys that he brought over, or were the Uries involved at all? Like, how much was it just JGL guys and also a combined effort?
Well, it was a lot of JGL guys, but our Fury guys really helped out at the shop early on to get the program running. Now, of course, a lot of them have had to go back to focusing more on the chassis building and what they actually do for business, because we're basically just in their way, taking up room in the shop. They have to keep running the business the way that it needs to go. So a lot of them are focusing on that now, but Tony's here this weekend, and he helped us out a little bit with his Super Speedway knowledge, which he has extensive amounts of. So hopefully that will bode well for us.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go there next. A guy that's had so much success on a super speedway. Do you pick his brain at all? Because he's seen so much success, not as a driver, but he's been there and he's seen what it takes to be successful here at Daytona. And you do too, of course.
Yeah, we just acquired this car on Thursday of last week, the super speedway car. So I wish Tony had gotten more time with it, but I feel like he's used to the time he's had with it wisely. And Shane and the engineer, they've all worked hard on it. So it was a short turnaround for this car, but I actually think it's pretty good. We all are expecting it to be at least better than the two super speedway cars we've raced this year. So we're pretty optimistic about it. And we finished fourth with it earlier this year here. And we think that this one's better.
Thank you. Priest, you had said at Bristol in April that you thought that the potential of winning that race was going to be a life-changing situation for all the reasons that you talked about earlier too. In hindsight now, looking back, how much did change and how much flexibility and luxuries did that give you?
Well, I've built a race car with the Dash for Cash, and it got me to where I don't owe people any money anymore. That was a huge part of when I went into New Hampshire, going into debt and not knowing if I could pay people back. Well, hoping, you know, I didn't say, well, I'm not going to pay you guys back. You know what I mean? I knew I had to go out. I had to run as good as I possibly did, or good as you possibly can, which, let's be honest, is winning. You have to win. So life-changing, I was just saying to my wife this morning, look where we were a year ago. What was our future? You know what I mean? And I still live in my condo. I still live in Connecticut. But I'd say there's just a lot more possibilities than there was a year ago. And you know, I'm sitting here at Daytona right now in a JGR car, which is something that I would dream to be doing. So I'm living the short track dream and just going to keep on trying to win, to solidify myself being here.
You should have let Bonsignor drive your car at Seekonk.
Yeah. Well, that car was ready for Riverhead on Saturday. So going from 2.5 miles to a quarter mile in a day is going to, or actually less than 12 hours, is going to be, it's going to be fun. Yep.
Al?
Yeah, Cass, Al Pearson, Auto Week. You've won here before, and you had a great start to your season in February, but there was a time early in the spring when you were basically week to week. You weren't sure what your ride was going to be, and how difficult was it to get through that period? And is it still difficult not knowing completely going forward what you're going to do?
It is. It's definitely difficult, but what's helping that is having fun every weekend. I feel like we're running better than ever, and we've got a really good family vibe on this team, and we're all just enjoying doing this. So that's been good for us, and I know I've had this race circled on my calendar for a while because of last year's win in the trucks, and then I felt like we had a pretty good race here to kick off my Xfinity career earlier this year. So this was one I was really hoping we'd be able to get to. I knew it'd be a challenge because obviously this has to be a different kind of car than what we use at the other tracks, but we were able to get one. We don't have a backup. You know, we can only be so lucky, but we do have a car and I feel good about it. So I'm really excited about this race, and depending on how it goes, it makes conversations easier about Kentucky. If we go out there and we win this race, that'll definitely help speed things up for us.
Before we open the floor back for the questions, Brandon, you come into the media center with a cool patriotic looking fire suit, but it means a lot more this weekend with everything that's going on with the car. Could you please explain what's going on with the whole Salute to Service program that you're associated with this weekend?
Yeah, well, obviously it's July 4th, you know, the whole week and the weekend. Myself, I'm extremely patriotic. I love our military and I love doing as much as I can with them. So whenever I heard the news that the Comcast Salute to Service it was going to be on the race car this weekend, I lit up, had a big smile on my face. I saw Christopher ran that car earlier this year, so I knew kind of an idea what it was going to look like. When I came in the shop Monday morning, it was awesome to see it sitting there. So hopefully I can make the military proud. We also have the Air Force Thunderbirds on the car this weekend as well, and in memory of the Cajun with the incident there and in the training exercise they had. So pretty proud to be able to represent them. This year we started out with a flight with those guys to start the year off, so that feels like a pretty big connection to that group.
Okay. We'll continue on with questions. We'll go to Caleb and then to Zach.
Okay, Whistler, KickingTheTires.net. Brandon, your kind of finishes have kind of been all across the board this season. You've transitioned over from RCR to JGR. Kind of where do you guys feel like you are now kind of going into this long summer stretch for Xfinity? Where do you feel like you are compared to the beginning of the season?
So we actually, myself and my crew chief, Chris Capehart, have sat down and kind of assessed that. So the best way I can kind of describe it was if I came to JGR, I'll make a number up, but at 20% out of 100%, the amount of work you put into it and the amount of effort to get to 80% is going to be big. You're really going to see a lot of improvement. But then to go to 80% now to 100%, you're not going to see much improvement, much return, but you're still working as hard as you possibly can. So it's kind of hard when you get in a big stretch like this. Obviously now I think we've got 15-week stretch maybe coming up here. It's really hard to try to stay focused on some of these races and not just kind of accept where you're at and kind of accept what you're running at. So we really got to stay after it, make sure all my guys are still fully committed into it, and I think I've got the right guys to stay with that mindset. So we had that conversation, and I think we're going to keep improving on it.
Do you feel like this 15-week stretch is going to be beneficial to you guys?
I think it'll benefit us for sure. You know, sometimes when you have a couple breaks in there, I don't say you really get off, but you kind of do have that 1 week where you relax a minute, and then you have to try to get hype back up for those races. So when you're in this stretch like this, it goes by extremely fast, but at the same time, you're learning every single weekend, and you're not kind of getting in and out. So I do enjoy this. I think it does improve the performance of the team.
Go to Zach.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com for Brandon. Last restrictor plate race out for you guys, second place at Talladega and a pretty narrow finish. Do you like this type of racing? I know you have a pole along the line in your career, but do you kind of like this, or do you kind of dread it a little bit too?
I've been on both ends of the fence on these races. Like you mentioned, I've had a pole. I've been really close to winning a couple of these in the Truck Series and Xfinity, and I've also been in the biggest one possible, you know, at Daytona. So I've been on the both ends of the stick. I do enjoy it, though. I do enjoy the game that's kind of played throughout the entire day on the plate tracks, and where to kind of position yourself throughout the whole day and the strategy behind it all. There's a lot of stuff that we've been going over at JGR right now on drafting and the study of it, and really how to do it effectively. So I'm still learning a lot. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to figure out once you do take the lead and how you balance that lead. So I'm still not there 100% on how to race these tracks, but I do enjoy coming to them, and I know it's just about anyone's game once we get out there. So that's another reason that I really enjoy coming here.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks.